The sports writers from the Salem News. Team coverage, topics, and sports names in the news on msonewsports.com and salemnews.com. And welcome. I'm Bill Newell, joined by Phil Stacey of the Salem News, the executive sports editor, Matt Williams, assistant sports editor, and Nick Giannino from the Salem News sports team. And we're doing this one on Zoom, which is our first Zoom podcast. Unfortunately, we're not doing the video piece, I don't believe, but it'd just be the audio piece. So, gentlemen, welcome. I'll start with you, Phil. Good to be seeing you.
Good to see you. And looking at this Zoom, I can see we all have faces for audio, not visual. So it's probably a good thing.
Yeah, no doubt. And let's see, I'm the only one with facial hair now here. I'm surprised at that. But Nick?
I was letting it grow there for a little bit. It was getting a little out of control. So I've been shaving every day again.
Yeah.
First couple of weeks of quarantine, it wasn't really a priority, but I've been doing it now.
Yeah, I know. By the way, just as far, let me ask you guys a wardrobe question. Anything other than sweatpants, running pants for you guys in the last 3 weeks, or what can you share with me?
I've been going through my T-shirt collection to see how many I have. So literally since the day we've been home, I've been wearing different T-shirts and then just marking it down what I wrote so I can find out how many I have and what I have been wearing. And I've just been wearing either jeans or shorts, not even sweats, just jeans or shorts.
So basically no change for you.
Nah, really no change for me, actually.
I think same thing with the beard. You know, first couple of weeks I was just wearing sweats, but I've been wearing jeans or shorts now during the day. You got to try to feel somewhat normal, I think. So I've been wearing jeans until it gets dark. Then you can throw on the sweats.
I think that's a pretty good rule. I was thinking of doing that too. Matt, how about yourself?
Just usual rotation, jeans, you know, sweatshirt. Depends on the weather, you know. At least looks like we're starting to get some sun here. So, you know, that's nice. Maybe put some of the hoodies away and then get some of the nice jersey type shirts out. You know, that'd be pretty good.
Hey, I want to address the spring sports situation quickly. We'll put it on the table, maybe move on from there. We'll talk about some other topics. But the MIAA released something yesterday. Basically, it sounds to me like it's more of the same. You know, here's a plan. If we come back May 5 for practices, if school comes back. But I also heard the governor yesterday say he's going to be making a decision, not right away, but maybe within a few days we'll know a little bit more from the governor. And that's what all the high school athletic directors are waiting for. And I know the CAPAN League and the NEC ADs are meeting this week, but they probably won't have any more information unless something happens soon here.
Go right ahead.
I was just going to read this. So our good friend Jim O'Leary, you know, who's on the tournament management committee that's done some work on this stuff, he had a nice message the other day. He said, I'm just going to read from the tweet here. We will continue to keep the hope alive until the end. Every athlete, whoever played till the end. One game will be enough. It's about being with your teammates. That's what will matter 20 years from now. So, you know, just that's what the MIA is working with. I know one of the members of the board of directors yesterday said, hey, you know, people are criticizing us for doing this because they don't think it's realistic. But the truth is, if school opened and we didn't have a plan, they'd criticize us for that. So, you know, that's what they're doing. They're keeping the hope alive. And I think that's true. You know, I think people have accepted that they're not going to have a regular season, but regular meaning normal, not meaning before the playoffs. You know, they're not going to have a normal season, but even if they get one game, five games, I mean, hey, you know, could it be that 12 is not realistic? Maybe, but, you know, could it be that they get five? That's okay. And, you know, geez, I started thinking yesterday, one of the questions I started sending out to some of our seniors is like, okay, hypothetically, if you could only play one game, right, who's your biggest rival? Who would you want that game to be against to make the best memory? I thought that was sort of an interesting topic of discussion. Yeah. See what kids would have to say about that.
Like a Thanksgiving Day for, you know, let's say baseball in the spring, you get one game. And if you're Peabody, who do you want to play? Do you want to play Saugus? Do you want to play Beverly? Do you want to play Danvers? That's great, Willie.
It's interesting. I wonder what, you know, what people would say. And I wonder if there would be certain teams that, that, you know, would have to line up and take their pick, right? If you're Danvers, like, well, you know, Beverly wants you and Peabody wants you and, you know, Gloucester wants you. Like, how do you pick, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's good thinking. Yeah, I agree with what Willie said, Bill, in that you can't fault the Tournament Management Committee, the MIAA, the ADs who are planning. I mean, if it doesn't happen, then everybody says, okay, well, we exhausted every option and it's just not going to work. It's not safe. It doesn't make sense at this time. We're very sorry. It just can't happen. But if for some sliver of hope that it can happen, there are guidelines in place and everything is set up beforehand so people aren't scrambling to try to get things done. It's why the athletic directors are meeting and trying to formulate schedules as to, you know, all these different scenarios. If we have a 12-game season, if we have an 8-game season, if there was a 3-game season, you know, who would play who and how would they get there and what would the conditions be like and would we have fans and all these different things. So I think it's better to have plans in place and ultimately not have to use them than to have nothing there. And it's just like, oh, we got a week to figure this out. What are we going to do?
Right. It can't be the other way. You're right. Absolutely. Couldn't have been the other way. So they're doing what they can do, for sure. Hey, I've got a story.
And the narrative hasn't really changed. I mean, I think all of us, if we had to guess, it's probably not going to happen, at least in my mind. I don't know if you guys feel differently. I certainly hope it does, for selfish reasons and just as importantly for the student athletes and coaches who need this, who need to get back to a sense of normalcy. I really hope it happens. Do I think it will? If forced to choose, no, but I think it's wonderful that there is hope being kept alive and that athletes are still trying to find a way to stay active and work out, and coaches are trying to formulate plans, and officials and league directors and the state's athletic management putting those proper channels in place on the chance that it can happen. They'll be ready to go.
Nick, I didn't know if you wanted to weigh in at all.
No, I'm with Phil. I don't, like we talked about last week, I don't necessarily have high hopes that it will happen, but I think the MIAA and all the leaders and directors, like Phil said, are doing a great job planning just in case that does happen, because we're getting closer and closer to that, what is it, May 4th, when they said they were going to open schools. So, you know, you just never know, I guess. A lot could change in 3 weeks from now, but my hopes personally aren't very high. And I think the more and more we speak to these student athletes, you know, a lot of them obviously really want to get out there and really want to play, but they're starting to see that that might not be a possibility. So we're just going to have to wait and see. But again, I think they're doing a great job preparing just in case they, you know, end up being able to get some sort of season out of this.
See, another thing that I see here is that if you look about, you talk about reopening up the country, that's businesses and that's certain businesses and that's certain areas of the country. When you talk about opening up schools, I look at schools kind of almost like senior citizens' home. That's a dangerous place because everyone is so close to one another within a classroom, with senior citizens are high at risk. You don't want people walking into senior citizen homes or homes of elderly people. That's for sure. And I think that, and then on the offset of that, if schools can't open, then athletics can't happen at all either. So that's the. That's the pessimistic piece that the reality that I see, that even if certain things do start to reopen, schools may not be first on the list, at least for the first few weeks, for sure. I can't imagine it myself. But
I think they have to go hand in hand. I mean, you start opening up businesses, telling people they have to go to work. What are they supposed to do with their kids?
Yeah,
you know, I think that's part of the reason that the businesses all closed in the first place. You know, once the schools closed, it's like, well, people are staying home anyway. So I think it kind of all has to go together. And, you know, I'm hopeful. I still maintain that it's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to happen on May 4th or not, but I don't think, you know, I don't foresee a whole nother month going all the way to June. I mean, maybe it's mid-May, but I don't think that it's going to be nothing until September. That just seems like way too long. And, you know, the domino effect it's going to have on education, you know, kids at critical ages, learning skills, math, arithmetic, things like this, the amount of work that would have to go into rejiggering the entire curriculum to you know, teach half of first grade next year in second grade. I mean, I just think it's unrealistic. So
yeah, that's not really a fact.
If it's not May 4th. I mean, yeah, they're going to have to do something.
If they can go back, they can safe. They can go back safe, but I don't think learning is really the is really plays a factor in when they go back.
All right, gentlemen, we're going to jump in just a second. Going to talk about some of the things that you've done on the sports pages at the Salem News the last few days, last few weeks. But, you know, with no sports happening, nothing local, nothing college, nothing professional. The only thing that's happening that I see here is auto racing. They're doing virtual auto racing. That's a new event. And then we have a story where Kyle Larson, who's an auto from NASCAR, they were doing a virtual race and he blurted out a racial slur. So now he's shut down, even from virtual what? Auto racing.
And Kyle Larson, didn't he used to play shortstop for Danvers High School? It must be a different Kyle Larson.
But, you know, it's funny. You know, auto racing is one of those sports, it seems to me, that you could do, although you couldn't have fans, but you could do that because everyone's in their cars, gas is cheap. You could do auto racing. You don't have to do that virtually.
Yeah.
I think there's more than – I don't know if you can social distance on the pit crew, right? You got to be, you know – Sure. Are the tires 6 feet apart? Maybe if we do four by, you know, are they only 4x4s? If there's one guy on each tire, they might be closer than 6 feet together. I don't know.
You just race until your tires wear out. You know, let's change the rules, mix it up a little bit. Yeah.
If I want to see cars going around in a circle, I can go to the Rotary in Gloucester. So I mean, I wouldn't watch racing no matter what it was.
Well, I'm not. Yeah, neither would I. But it just seems like again, you're right. But again, it's one sport that could possibly happen.
I actually didn't watch it. I couldn't pull myself. The more I saw on Twitter about how bad it was, I was like, all right, I can't tune into this. But
well, what about those guys playing the virtual basketball on TV? The NBA
What's that?
Guys. How about the NBA guys playing like the virtual games on?
Oh yeah, TV? No, they're playing. They're playing, you know, Xbox or PlayStation, yeah. Whatever it is. Yeah, I watched right. A little bit of that too. It's funny watching them trash talk each other and. You know, Zoom from their own houses, but the actual game, you know, I had no interest in watching that.
Yeah,
the hell I mean, see who wins
I
that?
You should mix it up. I mean, you know, we don't need to watch. If we're going to play video games, we don't need to watch basketball players play basketball on video. Yeah. Play something else. Play Madden. Play, you know, some kind of Call of Duty or something. I mean, you know,
yeah, I agree.
Imagination, right? We don't need to watch race car drivers race their cars on the TV.
They're not even using their own teams either. They're picking like different teams.
That's fun.
I want to watch.
That makes it a little different.
I want to watch Jason Tatum play Frogger. That's what.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, there's a whole industry of retro gaming. People do. People try to, you know, beat Mario levels in faster time than their friends and things of that nature.
Yeah,
there's probably Tecmo Bowl on there.
Hey, at least they're trying the NBA. They're trying to keep fans interested and getting people out in the, you know, their players out in the public. So
now their cool, playoffs but. Would be potting. That would be starting this week, right? NBA playoffs.
Yeah, very soon.
Yeah, and the Bruins would probably already have a 3-0 lead over whoever they were supposed to play.
They'd be swept already.
Oh God! Come on now, come on.
All right, let's spend our final time, and we have plenty of time, by the way. But you guys did a story recently on the best. Was it the best games that which ended up being Thanksgiving Day games, or was it the best Thanksgiving Day games? I can't remember exactly how. Everyone was a Thanksgiving Day game, though. Well, I'm
sorry. No, that's okay. We've been trying to brainstorm ideas. You know, and believe me, we are a small part of this. Equation here, but like anybody else, we're trying to figure out ways to do things in this new world while we're on pause, and what is going to be interesting and talking points for our readers and things that they can share and talk about and whatnot. And one of the ideas that the three of us brainstormed was something called Our Favorites, which appears each Monday online and in the newspaper. And it's just basically taking a topic and saying, these are our favorite. You ask a question, you know, what was your favorite so-and-so? And, you know, we write three or four paragraphs. This was our favorite. Here's a few honorable mentions. And we now want to get it out there so people, you know, our readers, people who read the paper online, you know, tell us what their favorites are. And this past week, we had our favorite Thanksgiving Day games. But it was pretty clearly stated in the first paragraph of that that it was games that we had actually covered, not – I know like, the great St. John's Prep Xaverian game from 1997 was an all time classic in the area. But none of the three of us were there. So that wasn't included. Or I had other people. In fact, I had one, coach who tends to be a little bit me, who shall remain nameless, but, you know, oh, you didn't include any of my team's games in there. And it's like, well, none of us did those games. And he made the point that I was actually at one of them way back when, and I said, well, I'm sorry, it wasn't that memorable. And I'm not sure he appreciated that. Former coach, I should say. Not coaching any longer. Hasn't coached for a while. But
Phil, by the way, let me interrupt you, Phil. I love it when you dish on these guys. I just love that piece. You know.
Well, I don't so normally feel free do to it.
I know.
No, I don't ever do it. I get along with everybody for the most part. But this kind of, I don't know, I tried to explain how we did this. And then, you know, when he shot back, oh, you were at our game in such and such a year. And I said, well, yeah, sorry. You know, I've done 30 of these. It didn't make the cut. So what can I tell you?
You know, the one that surprised me, Phil, was Matt's, what was it? Like a 34-0 Peabody win over Saugus. Maybe it was 28-0.
I mean, Willie can explain it better than I can, but I think it was more certainly the atmosphere, and I thought it was great with Dougie Santos, the obviously the all-time great Peabody running back, allowing a teammate who had never scored to score one of the last touchdowns. I mean, he can tell you better than I can, but yeah. I think that's why it was made memorable and deemed as his favorite.
Yeah, memorable for Peabody, anyway.
You know. Some constraints there, not exactly a lot of barn burners between Peabody and Saugus over the years. So if we're talking Thanksgiving only, I mean, you know, that wasn't even the most memorable game that team played that year. You know, they had a 38-34, or whatever it was, playoff game against Lexington that had six or seven lead changes in the second half. You know, obviously the Everett game stands out. So, you know, if we're talking the best 10 football games that I've ever been at in my life, you know, that wouldn't make the cut. But if we're talking Thanksgiving, well, you know, that's not exactly a deep well of games to choose from. And, you know, I think especially for me, for Thanksgiving, it's not about the plays. It's about the emotion. And certainly that was a game that stood out, you know, for those emotional reasons, you know, just that really team aspect and things like that. So I think, like, you know, when I think of Thanksgiving football, I think of the hugs and the, you know, the tears and things like that. I don't necessarily think of, you know, the sluggo routes and the cover two. I think that's something different about Thanksgiving that is a little different than, you know, the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I looked at mine. I had a much broader base of games to choose from. You know, like Willie said, a lot of these can be anticlimactic. They're not always great Thanksgiving Day games, but certainly seen a few. And the one I chose has always stuck out to me, I guess, because it was not only a milestone game, the 100th Beverly-Salem football game, but the fact that it was won with 2 minutes left by 1 point, you know, dramatic run, sets up the touchdown, they decide to go for two as opposed to tie, you know, that type of thing. So that to me was the best one. But, you know, like anything we do, our goals are to present the news, but also to get people talking. And, you know, I think this is an opportunity to get people talking and to remember when, I mean, not to sound corny, but when things were a little bit simpler and, you know, we could, have a back and forth about what the best Thanksgiving games were, or I think the first one we did was what's your favorite sports book you've ever read. And, you know, it was interesting to me to hear what some of my guys chose for that and how many or how few sports books they've read. Some of these guys like other types of literature. So that was interesting to me. And, you know, between the three of us, we have a ton of ideas. We can go, hopefully we don't have to go too long on this, although we could keep it up, I suppose, if things got back to normal, if it's popular enough. But we get a lot of these in the can, as the terminology goes. So we could do this for a long time, and hopefully it's something that keeps people engaged with us and is a reminder not only of good times and memories in the past, but also that there is a, you know, there is an end to this, and we'll get back to some semblance of normal again.
What are some of your favorites, Bill, for any of these topics? Or do you have any suggestions of questions for the future, our favorites features here in the page?
Well, you know, I wasn't looking ahead to your next question, but I was thinking of the questions that you did ask. And, you know, I kind of go back and I blend, you know, in my radio career, I started covering the Beverly-Salem game in the very late 70s. And, you know, to me, that at that time, that was the premier game on the North Shore. It was the biggest crowds. Two always very good teams, or good teams, rather, always coming in with winning records. And it was Bill Hamer for Beverly as head coach, Ken Perrone of Salem, two outstanding coaches meeting, and they were always interesting games. And oftentimes an upset, you know, might have been in those games as well, but always exciting. And then later on, you know, after I left and went on to do other things and then came back and joined the website with Rick, is I ended up doing the and they built the new Manning Field. I ended up doing Lynn English, Lynn Classical. And, you know, those games were actually, we had some great games. I think there was one just two, 3 years ago with Lee changed like three times in the last few seconds of the game. It was crazy. But, I mean, you know, I kind of blend them all together. But I look at that series and those two teams in the last decade have been solid teams in the last decade, and they've been great games for the most part. Sometimes the final scores don't look like it, but they've been good games. And so I kind of feel a little bit lucky to be at both of those, to cover those games during the times that I did cover those games. So, you know, I kind of blend those things together. So for me to pick one game, I guess I'd have to go back and nitpick a little bit. But I kind of looked at those Beverly-Salem games as, you know, I guess what I would say is, you know, two very good coaches and very competitive games, no nonsense kind of games, but never dull.
And I didn't even think of the one from 2 years ago when it was Arctic conditions.
Oh yeah,
I don't think I could have called
that about that one.
I can't even call that a favorite, but it was certainly memorable for that reason. You know, so I don't know. We're looking to hear from people who just want to share with us a quick thought on their favorite Thanksgiving Day game this week, and next week we'll be on to something else. But, you know, that's the great thing, I think. And, Bill, you know this, and my guys certainly do too, about working and covering athletics on the North Shore is there's such a treasure trove of people and athletes and history and things that you can write about that we can survive at a time like this. Because there is so much good stuff to write about. Sometimes we have so much stuff in season that we can't get the things that we want to do. So now this gives us a time to kind of circle back and check in with some of those things.
Yeah, I'm struck, you know, in all my years of covering local sports, is just struck by the quality of people that we deal with, whether they be the coaches, other people within the schools. And in particular, you know, in the last decade or so, a lot more interviews with student-athletes. I know, Phil, you guys do that all the time. But in the past, I guess I did it sometimes, but not a lot. And now I'm doing it a lot more, like you guys are always doing it. But all very impressive, you know, like that there is so much out there. And there, you know, I do the same things, too. Sometimes I think, okay, if we went back and looked at some of the former coaches and stories and game stories, there are some tremendous stories out there over the years that basically is what you're saying, Phil, should be retold. We should share those stories with the next group of fans, if you will.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I'm lucky to have, you know, two great guys with me and Nick and Willie, and, you know, they know the area as well as anybody, and we try to blanket it as best we can. And at this time too, you know, where we're also reaching out to a senior who plays a spring sport at all the different schools and all different kinds of sports. not just the stars, but also trying to tell the stories of kids, maybe sometimes that escape the radar or don't get more than a mention in a roundup or something like that, to kind of tell their stories and what their hopes are for this spring and beyond. So it's, you know, maybe it's a fraction of what you hear people say about this as a whole. Maybe this whole thing is a way for us to stop and, you know, reset things a little bit and realize what's important. And, you know, maybe there's just a different way moving forward to do things. So at least for us, this is kind of a part of what we're doing as far as that goes.
Hey, when's the NFL draft happening? When's that happen?
I think it's 2 weeks.
Is it two weeks away? Yeah.
Less than that, right?
Not this weekend, but the following.
Okay.
I think like the 23rd of that Thursday. I think a week from Thursday is the first round, and they're still, you know, pacing out the rounds over 4 or 5 days, I think.
And this is all Zoom, right? Or all virtual?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
We could check with our North of Boston Media Group Patriots reporters to get the official dates on that. But I do believe Willie is right. Yes.
How about this? Keep your eyes on the guy from Maine, the kick returner, slot receiver, Ernest Edwards. Somebody ought to draft that guy. And, you know, maybe it'll be the Patriots. We saw what the small school guy did from Assumption there for New Orleans last year. I think Edwards is a similar guy and was – recruited and groomed by Salem's own Nick Charlton, who recruited him as a kick returner when Nick was the special teams coordinator. He became offensive coordinator, and you know, then this kid had a huge role in the offense, and now Nick's a head coach up there. So what a great story that would be if you know, if that kid can make it after being groomed by a man who played in that Thanksgiving game we were talking about just a little while ago, not the 100th one, but just in the series.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Willie Ernie Adams could introduce Ernie Edwards to the Patriots.
Well, you know, I'm worried about Ernie Adams. Somebody better keep him away from the computer. The last thing we need is another Patriots cheating scandal, you know, hacking into other teams' Zooms and things like that. I'm sure that everybody's getting their security software upgraded, you know, in case of Belichick.
Yeah, I did hear where Belichick is learning more about Zoom, so it won't be long before you're right, Willie. They'll try to sneak in and cut into an edge into some. I mean, how important would it be to get into these war rooms, invade their Zoom conferences? Because even the teams have to be doing this on Zoom as they plan for the draft, right?
I don't know. Has he made a funny? I mean, I know he likes to pretend he doesn't know what like Facebook and stuff. He says My Face and Snap Face. Like, what is his funny fake name for Zoom? Does he have one yet?
Boom.
I think he feels like multi-platform where shoes he wore in the 70s or something like that, you know?
Bill's probably still using Skype. The only guy on the planet right now.
who's Skyping?
Yeah, I mean, their stock had to plummet it, huh? Poor guys.
Yeah.
You know, why are people, what's wrong with Skype? I don't know.
I don't know. Isn't it the same thing? Like, I don't get it.
I kind of thought so. Yeah, I don't know. I just click on whatever links people send me. I never really thought about it.
Yeah, me neither. Maybe you can't do group Skypes, but I thought you could. I don't know.
Field 59.
We could always go back to that.
FaceTime. How about FaceTime? You know?
FaceTime's good, yeah.
Yeah. Zuckerberg's got all the money he needs.
All right, man. I think we're pretty much out of time here. But any other thoughts? Any shout outs that you want to give a shout out to in your day to day lives outside of the sports room here, the sports chat room, if you will?
Yeah, my wife. She's doing a great job. Basically, running all the schooling for at least my two youngest. My oldest is pretty self. He's pretty good on his own, but my two younger ones sometimes just need a little help from mom, and she's doing that in addition to doing her own teaching while I'm squirreled away upstairs working 10 to 6 nowadays, quite different from our usual schedule, but she does a great job with them. So, and I know she'll never hear this, but hey, thanks a lot, Mrs. Stacy. Appreciate it.
Matt, Nick?
Yeah, I'll give a shout out to the lady friend Becca. She's a social worker, so she's out in the field, and you know she's got to come home to this every day. Tough go at it for her. So give her a lot of credit, a lot of props for keeping on during this. And also shout out to Christian McCaffrey, big contract for the running back there from Carolina. What do you guys think of that? Do you see that 16 a year for Christian?
Pretty good. He's pretty durable so far. I mean, most of those deals come back to bite the teams, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't see running backs getting paid like that. But
kind of have no choice, right? I mean,
he's pretty good.
Can't let him.
They're going to run him into the ground at this rate, though.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, you know, look what happened with the Rams. They had to let Gurley go after what, a year or two, but
yeah.
Have no choice, right? Gotta pay that man his money.
With or without the Oreos, right?
There you go.
That's right.
There they are, the sports writers from the Salem News, Phil Stacey, Matt Williams, and Nick Giannino. I'm Bill Newell here on MSO News Sports and SalemNews.com. The sports writers from the Salem News. Team coverage, topics, and sports names in the news on MSONewsSports.com and SalemNews.com.